Once again, it's just such a great presence of the Lord in this place. They get us started off this morning. We're going to have a young man come and give a, we call him five spots. I think he's going to be about 7 to 10 spot this morning. But anyway, it is so great to have so many awesome young people. When I say young people, I mean they're in their 30s now, most of them that we call young people. But Jordan Powell has grown up in this church, and we have watched him grow and watched him develop into an incredible young man. And it is an honor to have him come here. I got to spend we made a trip together, a man-up adventure a few years back, and it was a great time, one of those just kind of trip of a lifetime. And we had just such an incredible fun time together, traveling an old motorhome all the way out to the Black Hills. Actually, we ended up in the Bighorn Mountains is where we went on that man up. And on the way back, we made a little bit of a venture. He kept talking to this person. He kept saying, my friend. And he kept talking to this friend on his notepad. And he would sit in the motorhome. You got lots of chairs to sit in, and he would always have his back to me so that I couldn't see who he was talking to. And but it seemed to be a little bit more than just a friend, to appear to me anyway. And on the way back, we made a little bit of a side trip through North Dakota, and went down to Minneapolis, and we stopped there in Minneapolis in a parking lot, and he had his first date. I didn't know that. I didn't mean to crash your date, Abby, but he was so excited. Just outside of Fargo, he was trying to order chicken from Buffalo Wild Wings, and they weren't open yet. And he had more chicken waiting when we got there, enough to feed all of us. But anyway, I appreciate Jordan Powell. And come and share a few things with us this morning. God bless you, my friend.
I appreciate Pastor Roy. Thanks for letting me go on that trip, and thanks for the mini 100-mile detour. Pastor Roy, let me know. I only have 7 minutes, so I would like to speak on the secrets of the Psalms. This will be part one of 143. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 117, verse 1, we'll start. I'm kidding. I'd like to say thank you. I'd like to say thank you to my wife. She's my best friend. She's my study partner. She's the worship leader in our house. And, you know, she just helps to keep me on track, and she's wonderful. Thanks to the pastoral staff for letting me come up here. I do recognize what a risk it is. But this whole thing started in a personal devotion that my wife and I do. So Pastor Roy, in the middle of August, end of August, challenged us, hey, you know, go through Joshua and study out Joshua. So I'm like, this sounds like a great idea. We're going to do this. So I would go through Joshua, the first chapter, and I would write down my notes on one side of a notepad, and then she would read it and read Joshua and read my thoughts, and then she would write her thoughts on the other side. So if you're looking for a way to study with your wife, we found this one to be pretty good. Our schedules don't always match up, but, you know, we can each read the notebook and read what the other person said, and it's been very, very beneficial. So, little plug in there for devotionals. It's cool. So this is going to be a small excerpt from Joshua 6. Oftentimes I found myself running late and missing worship service. And when I read Joshua 6, I became very, very convicted, especially when I read my wife's excerpt, which I will not read. But it does say, end soapbox moment, or soapbox moment over at the end. So, worship. Worship is important. It's not preliminary. It's not fluff. It's not stuff. and being married to a worship leader, I have found this out firsthand, the penalties of mission worship service. It's not nice. So in Joshua 6, the captain of the Lord's army gave Joshua directions. He said, walk around the city of Jericho one time each day for 6 days, blowing your horns. They didn't sound like that, but I don't have a horn, so. And on the seventh day, he said, walk around it 7 times, blow the horns, and shout with a voice of praise. I have spoken. Then he disappeared. So only Joshua knew about this. And a little excerpt about the horns. In Exodus 19:16, the horns actually melted the hearts of their enemies. Took away all courage, took away all ambition to take over the enemy. So the horns had a purpose. They were praise horns. God requires trust and faithfulness. Faithfulness is key. They didn't know the plan. They didn't know the ending. They didn't know what was going to happen. Only Joshua did. So they marched around this wall 12 times for 6 days, 7 days. They marched around it 12 times. Nothing happening. Nothing happening. All they're doing is blowing their horns. They didn't know the plan. But on that 13th time, on that seventh day, something happened. So they marched around the walls, and then they fell completely flat to the ground. They shouted, and this was not a simple shout. Ah! It was not a simple shout like that. The ruah meant to make a joyful noise in triumph, to destroy the enemy. The power of praise is one that is not to be taken lightly. They shouted, and their shout, it says in verse 20, they were shouting for victory with a loud noise. Psalm 47 says, we shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And just as the horns went before the ark where the Lord dwelt, so must praise precede his power. God dwells in the praises of his people, it says in Psalm 22:3. Praise is a prerequisite for this power. It seems like Jericho is very symbolic to what is happening to this church body right now. It is tiring. It is hot. It is long. The walls are very high and difficult to pass. But when victory is given, those walls will fall completely to the ground. There will be complete, total, and utter victory when they fall. Never again did Israel have to beat Jericho. They were completely destroyed. Victory had been given. They were told to burn everything, take nothing except for the valuable metals. When we cross over into victory from our praise God has for us, we will not have to face this trial again unless we are bringing those weights and bringing those sins from those trials. When we burn that trial behind us, the only thing we are meant to take with us are the nuggets of gold that we have learned. Job says, when I'm tried, I want to come forth as gold. And that's what we are meant to take with us from these trials. We jump over to 2 Chronicles 20, and we see that King Jehoshaphat employed a similar tactic, except that he was surrounded. He wasn't trying to invade, he was being invaded. He was being attacked by 3 different enemies on 3 different fronts. But what did he find out? He didn't have the men or the weapons or the resources to fight on 3 fronts. In desperation, he cries out in verse 15, help. And he finds out the battle is not yours, but it is God's. He didn't have to fight. He didn't have to lift a sword. And we find out that he didn't lift a sword. All he did was praise. With the battle in God's hands, he was left to celebrate the victory. And that is exactly what he did. The king commanded the singers to be in the front of the army and the army in the back and to give praise to God. The Bible says that God had already prepared an ambush and was ready. And their praise was the catalyst that brought that army down. It caused mass confusion in the enemy camps to the point where they ended up defeating themselves. And not a single soldier was left alive because all that the army did was praise and lift up and thank God for the victory. The power of praise is not to be taken lightly. He is ready and waiting to help you if you are trapped. He needs to trust and he needs faithful praise. They renamed that valley the Valley of Blessings because they raked in so many spoils that they could not contain. So when you are faced on all fronts and you lift up your hands in praise, it confuses the enemy something crazy. He goes, what, you're surrendering to me? No, I'm surrendering the battle to God and he's going to take care of you. And I'm just going to rake in the spoils and take it all in. The enemy is coming against you, but God will give you a victory that can be counted as a blessing. It doesn't matter if you're trying to get over the impassable. to get to your promise. It doesn't matter if you're surrounded by the enemy when things look grim. Praise will make a way. I didn't have you stand at the beginning, but I'm going to have you stand now. I realize this is a little bit different than what we do on a Saturday or a Sunday, but we're going to praise. We're going to praise him. In the middle of an ordinary Sunday, we're going to praise him. We're going to give a shout of triumph to God, our deliverer, to God, our savior, to God be the victory, to God for our healer, to God for his mercy endureth forever, to God for his grace that is new every morning. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. In Exodus 14:14, the battle is the Lord's. Praise him. In Joshua 6, the battle is the Lord's. Worship him. In 1 Samuel 17:47, the battle is the Lord. Lift up a shout of victory. In 2 Chronicles 20:15, the battle is the Lord's. Give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. When you don't know what to say, you can just call on his name, Jesus, 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 and he'll be right there with an ambush. He'll be right there to take care of you. Doesn't matter if you're trapped. Doesn't matter if you're trying to get to an impassable place. He'll be there. My challenge to you is don't skip out on the worship service. These worship ministers pray about their sets. They take time. They find out what God wants to do. If you're already here for worship, then make sure to take that worship home with you. Just by yourself in your living room, when things don't seem that great or when you're trying to pass an obstacle, lift up your hands and surrender and say, you know what? It's not about me. It's you. You have the battle. You have the victory, and you've given it to me. It would be so sad to find out that you missed out on ultimate victory because you crossed the wall or encompassed the wall only 12 times, waiting for that 13th pass where you let it all out and you give him the praise. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I thank you. Give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
praise God, praise God. I've got two messages in front of me this morning. I've never come to the pulpit with two messages, but you can be seated. God is awesome. I'm just going to expound a little bit. I'm not going to, over the last few months, there's been a lot of things that have changed in my life. And, you know, some health issues. Sometimes we struggle in our lives to sort some of these things out. I began to realize, tying in with Brother Jordan's message, the Bible says to give thanks in all things. That's a hard thing to do. I challenged you this morning to give thanks and all. When things are falling apart around you, it is so difficult to just lift your hands and say, Lord, I praise you in spite of my circumstance. That's a hard thing to do. That takes spiritual discipline is what it takes, because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense in our minds. So I've been asking God a lot of questions, not always getting the answer that I had hoped for. And when I did get answers, I didn't fully understand all of those answers. We pray, we ask God for specific things. God doesn't always come through in such a specific way, and it confuses us. We have a breakthrough. We desire to have a breakthrough, a breakthrough from all of our past problems and a breakthrough from all of our current issues. And we're looking into the future for where we want to be and where we want to go, but we struggle to get there. How do I get there? What do we do at each step of the way? And we begin to depend. We need to depend on God. We depend on our pastor. We depend on our families. We depend on those around us. And we have to depend on God as well. When I look at all of this, looking in my own life, what do I need to take and weed out? And what do I need to add to? We must understand that our enemy is desperate. We have been going through the book of Joshua. This morning would be part number 2 of lesson number 6 of Joshua chapter 10. And we will cover this at another date. But I just feel to veer off a little bit. The enemy is desperate. When I look at the enemy, God General Patton is one of my war heroes. I loved studying. I've studied him, read a number of his books. One of my most unique leadership books I have at home is Leadership Secrets or Leadership Tips of George S. Patton. He was a hardcore general, and he was a hardcore when it came to leadership. And when you read about him, and one of the things that he always did was he studied out his enemy. We need to study and learn a few things about our enemy today. Do you know that the devil cannot be everywhere? Did you know that? So when we're having a revival in Madison, Wisconsin, and God is moving in Madison, Wisconsin, and God rearranges the heavenlies over Madison, Wisconsin, and places legions of angels over us, the enemy, in order to counterattack or to balance out the enemy, the devil has to send angels from other places. Remember, he's outnumbered 2-1. That doesn't include God, and that doesn't include the power and the authority that God has given the church. So he is grossly outnumbered in manpower. It's just he likes for us to feel like he's in charge of everything that goes on in our community. He's only can do what God allows him to do. We have to understand that. He can only afflict us as God allows him to afflict us. This is where our praise, and this is where our worship, and this is where our trusting in God all comes together. So the enemy is desperate. He neither has the power nor the resources to adequately fight the battle that is ahead of him here in our community. We look where we are and we only see things at times from our own perspective. When I look out across this congregation this morning, I see a lot of flesh dressed in different type of adornment sitting across a building. You're sitting on pews. You have different colors. You're different shapes. We're different sizes. We all look different. We act different. We talk different. We are different individuals. But there's a whole other realm that we don't see. Doesn't mean we always don't see them. I've never physically seen angels that I am aware of. I do believe angels exist. It's funny how we like to believe in the devil, and people believe in the devil, but they don't believe in God, and they don't believe in angels, heavenly angels. But you see, when we look at this, and we look at the devil, our enemy, he's the arch enemy of our soul. Anything he ever tells us when he shares it with us is a lie, Brother Brian. He's the father of all lies. So when he looks across this congregation, He sees you and I in the flesh, but he also sees what is happening in the spirit. Do we realize that? When the enemy looks at this church and he looks at us as individuals, he sees us walking through life surrounded by heavenly angels. The Bible talks about how that he surrounds around about us. His spirit is in us. He sees the Holy Ghost in us. We don't see the Holy Ghost. We see the actions of the Holy Ghost. When we have the Holy Ghost, our lives change. The Holy Ghost is more than just salvation, by the way. The Holy Ghost is power and authority for us to handle and deal with those things that come against us in our lives. I'm talking a little bit this morning about making decrees in our lives. I think this is one thing that we grossly overlook in our lives and how God wants us to change our tactics in the last days that we are living in. You see, we look at where we are and we only see things at times from our perspective. Yet the enemy sees things on both the flesh and the spirit. He also sees God's angelic army as it begins to close in around him and begins to surround him here in our community. He sees God himself standing on a throne preparing to enter into a battle in which he knows he will be defeated. And we're in the middle of all of this. He also sees a church body that has been preparing for years to enter into this end time spiritual battle. And he understands that we have unlimited spiritual power. And his biggest ploy is to try to convince us and tell us that we are not what God has already ordained us to be. Satan is limited. He's limited to only the power and the authority that we freely allow him to take away from us. Did you just get that? I have been praying and I have been studying, and the power of our words matter. The power of our words matters. As the Word puts it, as the Word of God puts it, the power of our decrees. As the people of God, as Calvary Gospel Church, we need to pray and fast and wait on God's answer in worship. And I believe that we are moving. I believe that we are moving the heavenlies around us because we are beginning to experience the pushback. Imagine with me for a minute. What if we begin to change how we pray? What if we begin to change how we fight our enemies? What if we begin to fight this fight exactly how God designed this fight to work? Hear me, church. This is key to where we are going. Imagine. We have allowed the enemy to control our battle, but not only control our battle, but also our own battle strategies that we use against him, and it's working out very convenient for him. When he can pick and choose how we fight him because he has us duped at times. Think about this. We're talking about a different dimension of fighting our enemy. I'm struggling with all of this. I've never been to this place in my life before. The series that we're going through, Faith, it was created for times like this. The enemy doesn't want us to speak the word of God and the will of God over our lives. If he can keep us in a corner, and he can keep us frustrated, and he can keep us biting one another or backbiting. If he can keep us in a state of confusion and anger, then he will always, always, always win our battle. But the enemy, he does not want us to speak the word of God and the will of God over our lives. God desires, his will is that we pick up the battle. We pick up our swords. We take the word of God with us, and we begin to decree that we are victorious. I don't have to live my life in sickness. I don't have to live my life in frustration. I don't have to live with the disease that has been placed upon my body. I don't have to live with this, that the afflictions that the enemy is pouring out upon me. I don't have to live with this. And I'm going to use the word of God to decree, because God's word is always the final authority in our lives. Is it not? We read Psalms 103:20-21. Bless the Lord, you his angels who are mighty and do his commands, and obey the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye servants who do his pleasure. I believe our next level, and where God is wanting to take us into this next year, it's going to be a combination of us binding together our flesh, and our flesh joins up with our spirit. You see, we always fight in our flesh. We're always fighting our flesh, but there will come a time that God will give us the victory that we need, to where that our flesh will fall under the subjection of the Spirit. And when that flesh joins up with the Spirit, Brother Seidel, there's nothing the enemy can do to stop that. That means even though I live in the flesh, I war in the flesh, I hurt, I have pain, I have suffering, I have all of this, but God still, in all of, listen, when he was here on earth, everything he did, he was fighting human flesh. He was human as we were, human flesh as we have. He was tempted in all types of sins, yet he did not sin. He knows what it feels like to walk in the flesh. He knows what it feels like to be tired. He knows what it feels like at times to be angry and show emotion. So when we look at this, in the English language, the word decree implies not only that a judgment has been implemented, but also that it is implemented with a degree of impact or a level of authority. God has given us authority over our enemy. Did you know that? Our supernatural breakthrough is decreed, and it's final when we release it out of our mouths. You see, I believe our next level is binding the flesh and the spirit together. I believe angels will come to war over us and fight for us and fight with us. What was happening at Jericho when the Israelites were worshiping? Who was doing the fighting? Was it Israel doing the fighting? It was God. Is that all we can get for God who does our fighting? We think it's crazy, and we think one another is crazy when we begin to pray and say, well, let's just dispatch some angels over this part of town or this part of town or this part of town. I've gone out and got in my pickup truck and I said, Lord, I don't know how this works. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to do it. And I opened up all four doors and I said, get in as many. I don't know how many angels can fit in a Chevy pickup truck, but get in the back. You're not breaking the law. They can't see you. pile in as high as you can get. I don't know how it works, but I drove over to a neighborhood that we have been trying to build and start a church in, and I opened the doors and said, go, do what you gotta do. Start fighting our battle. As I said, yes, sometimes you feel a little foolish. But I read where Brother Mangan in Alexandria, Louisiana, had done this for years in a little old Volkswagen that he had. And I thought, I'm pretty sure I could get more in a pickup than a Volkswagen. You see, we are in a preparation state. We have to get ready for your breakthrough decree to become established in your life. We have to start to reach out by faith. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. It's about believing in what you cannot physically see. And believing that what I can't see, because my word says that if I declare it, it will be as done. Brother Powell mentioned this morning about Jehoshaphat going into battle with his worshipers. I can just imagine what the enemy saw. Those kings that came against him. As Jehoshaphat's worshipers begin to worship, and all of the heavenlies begin to gather in, and God began to call his angels and says, hey, they're worshiping me. They're worshiping me. They're talking about me. They're lifting up adoration to me. I want you to come, and I want you to see this. This is what Israel thinks about me today. This is what Calvary Gospel Church thinks about me today. I want you to come. Look at how they're worshiping me. Look at how they're lifting up their hands. Listen to their mouths. Listen to what they're decreeing in the word. And it's through the power of decree, which is prophetically claiming the supernatural healing and breakthrough by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and by the power of the cross. The power of the decree that by Jesus Christ's stripes we are totally healed. That's power of decree. His word decrees that, Elder Caskey. It's his word that stands. And God will stand on his word. If God's not willing to back his word, then there's no point in any of us even being here. Because then we would serve a God that's incapable. But my God is far more than capable. If our musicians can come this morning, you see, we can see that Jesus understood his authority when he was on earth. I love it. I love the fact that after 40 days in the wilderness of fasting and praying, no doubt he wasn't on the Daniel's fast. He was probably going without food and without minimal amount of water, just enough to sustain life. And here he is, his flesh is beaten down, it's broken, it's torn, it's worn out, and the enemy comes at him and he takes three Old Testament scriptures and he decrees them to the enemy. He makes a decree. He makes a stand on the authority of the Word of God. You see, when he says, it is written,
just as kings of old would write out their decrees when Jesus said, "It is written." He's saying to us today, "It is by my decree. It is my power and it is my authority. And I give that power and that authority over to my children." You see, Satan had no choice but to do what Jesus commanded him to do, because it is written. So let's stand this morning. It is written, church. God has spoken. God has spoken to us on so many different occasions. I'm excited about what God is doing. Sometimes it's just simply we just don't realize what is going on and what is happening because we can't always see the whole battlefield. I just see my area of battle. I don't see Matt Moran's area of battle because I don't walk where he walks. I don't walk where Benjamin Smith walks, so I don't see his area of battle, but God sees it all, and the enemy sees it all. And just as that trumpet, or just as that shofar was being blown as they walked around Jericho and as they went into battle, the enemy becomes tense. And as that sound goes out, it's the decree of our King. And the enemy recognizes the decree because he used to be part of that kingdom, see? And God says, "I want to give you victory today. But I want you to come down and I want you to trust my word. I want to give you healing today. I can heal you physically. I can heal you emotionally. I can heal you spiritually. I can heal you financially. Any type of healing you need, I want you to come down and decree it. It's in my word. I gave my blood for it. I came to this earth for it. That's why I came here. I came here. My coming here is the greatest decree that I've ever decreed." So as our worship team begins to sing this morning, what is it in your life that you need to overcome? And you need to lift up your hands and begin to worship your God. And through your mouth, he wants you to take his word and decree it over your life.
Yeah. What a great God we serve. What a great God we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You'll overcome, you'll overcome. Every
oh, hallelujah.
High thing must come down.
I feel victory
every
in the house.
Every stronghold shall be
I feel
broken.
Victory in the house.
You wear the victor's crown. You'll overcome, you'll overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome, you overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome, you overcome. Every high must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God gives us victory. Claim that victory today. Claim that victory today.
You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus, you have overcome. Hallelujah. Overcome, you overcome. Every high thing must every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the